Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. If you've missed any of our past programs, you can find those at kpcg.fm, at thetrumpet.com, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. You have probably heard the expression, born again. Those that read the Bible have seen that expression. They've read about born again, have probably heard something about it. Well, what does that mean? And when will we be born again? Let's notice an excellent passage where Christ really clarifies what it means to be born again. And we have a few passages to look at today. So if you have a Bible, it'd be great to get it out. And we could look at these passages together. So we'll start in John 3. John 3, and starting in verse 1. It says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him." And so they did understand, at least to some extent, that Christ was being used by God. But again, this man who was prominent, he came there at night. He didn't want to be seen going there to Christ, but he had a question for him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So Christ knew what he was wondering about. And verse 4, "Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" So here Nicodemus, he asked the very logical question. Well, how can he be born again? He was thinking of an actual literal birth. And he said, well, how can that be? Can you go back into your mother and then be born again? He didn't understand it. And Jesus, in verse 5, said, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So to be born again means entering into the kingdom of God, and we can't enter the kingdom of God if we're not born again. Verse 6 says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And that's pretty clear. If we're born of the flesh, we are flesh. But if we're born of the Spirit, at that time, then we are spirit. Verse 7 says, "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." And then here Christ in verse 8, he explains what it's like to be spirit. He's making a very clear explanation here. He says, "The wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and whither it goes, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit." And so we have to look at what Christ said here. He made some great points. He made some excellent points. He said that a man has to be born again, or he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He said that which is born of flesh is flesh. So take a look at yourself. And you could touch your arm, maybe. If it's flesh, then you're flesh. You're not born again yet. And to really clarify that point, in verse 8, we just read it. It talks about everyone that is born of the Spirit. It's like the wind. You can't see it humanly. We don't see it with our eyes. We see maybe the effect of the wind, it blowing on a tree or something. But we don't see the wind, right? So Christ was very clear here about what it means to be spirit. The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which is free, and you can get that at thetrumpet.com and sign up for it, it writes this: "The Pharisees knew Jesus was the prophesied Messiah, but they understood only one messianic appearance, so they didn't realize that there would be a second coming. So they supposed he was planning to overthrow the Roman Empire then. Of course, Jesus knew what they were thinking, and so he launched immediately into the fact that the kingdom of God, ruling all nations, could not be set up until the time of the new spirit birth, the time of the resurrection. The kingdom of God can't be established until that happens. It says the kingdom of God is something that can be entered into, but only those who are born again can enter into it. So Christ said that we have to be born again. And the correspondence course says, we who are born of the flesh are flesh. Just mortal, flesh and blood. We were born that way. But it is possible for us to be born again. This time, not as a mortal, flesh and blood baby, but born of the very Spirit of God. Then we shall be spirit, wholly composed of spirit as God is. Now there are people that think they are born again already. They think once they accepted Christ as they see it, and you know, maybe went through something like that, then they're born again. But we're not born again until we're actually composed of spirit. That's Christ's clear teaching. That's his clear teaching. If we're still flesh and blood, then we're not born again. And that's different than what a lot of people believe. But again, these are the words of God that we're looking at, Christ's words here. Let's look at another passage in 1 Corinthians 15. These are some other passages that just shed more light on what it means to be born again. 1 Corinthians 15, and notice verse 50. It says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Then continuing down, it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So some people will live right up until Christ's return, and they won't die in the sense of having their natural life, dying, and then being resurrected. They'll be changed when Christ returns. How will that happen? Verse 52 makes it clear. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So the saints of God, those that knew God's truth and obeyed him in this life and have since died, those people will be resurrected. And the saints of God that are still alive at that time will be changed. Verse 53 says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. See, in the physical body that we have today, we are corruptible, right? We get older and eventually die if we have enough time or our lifespan goes on long enough. Eventually, we'd end in death, at least for a time. These bodies are corruptible, but they must put on incorruption. When we're born spirit, we're incorruptible at that point. Spirit, it lives on and on and on. And he said the mortal must put on immortality. We can't continue on as humans. We only have a limited lifespan. The mortality that we have has to put on immortality. It has to become spirit. It has to become spirit. The correspondence course says, the kingdom of God is something no human born of flesh and blood can enter or inherit. It is through the resurrection of those begotten by the Spirit of God during this mortal life that this mortal will put on immortality and, like God, become immortal, incorruptible, literally born of God's Spirit into the very God family. That is how we shall enter into the kingdom of God. And so when people are called by God, as it says in John 6 and verse 44, and God has to do the calling, when God does call them and open their minds and they accept that calling and they repent and are baptized and God gives them a portion of his Holy Spirit, at that point they're begotten, not yet born, but begotten. And we can understand what that means, right? We see that when a woman becomes pregnant. There's a child there, but it's not born yet. It's only begotten at that point. And then once it is born and it comes out and everybody sees it. Well, there it is. It's born. But up until that time, it's only begotten. Our spiritual reproduction is typified by physical reproduction. And that's a whole other topic to get into and to think about. And it's written about in The Missing Dimension in Sex, which is a free book at thetrumpet.com. There's a great meaning to human reproduction. It doesn't just keep the human race going. It also teaches us spiritual lessons about being born into the kingdom of God. This gospel message, this message of the soon coming kingdom of God, has been preached in all the world for a witness. Because again, the gospel is the good news of the kingdom of God. And people will be born into that kingdom when they're born of the Spirit, when they become God beings. And that's very shocking for many people if they haven't heard it before, but that's what God is offering mankind. Not only that, but he gave some specific promises about how that message would be preached. That message, that gospel message, has been preached in all the world for a witness. Let's look at this in Matthew 17. There was a prophecy here that this message would be preached. And there was a man that did that. His name was Herbert W. Armstrong. He preached this message, and it's God's message. And that message continues to be delivered today, although there's a focus on the warning today. And you read it in the pages of the Trumpet magazine, you see it on the Key of David program, and you hear it on this radio station. But let's look at this prophecy here in Matthew 17. Matthew 17, it talks about the fact that this gospel message would be preached in all the world for a witness. Matthew 17 and verse 10, it says, "And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias or Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things." So it's very important to note that Christ said, look, he'd come again and he would do something. He would restore all things. And then notice in verse 12, Christ said, "But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." Verse 13, "Then the disciples understood that he spoke unto them of John the Baptist." So, if this was just read casually, it could be a little bit confusing. But he's talking about John the Baptist, who already had come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And then there would be another person to come years later, also in the spirit and power of Elijah. But that man would do something different. He would restore all things. Look at the history of John the Baptist. He didn't restore anything. He prepared the way for Christ's first coming. He taught baptism for the remission of sins. But he didn't restore anything. Mr. Armstrong, Herbert W. Armstrong, did restore all things, but he did it to the church. All things were restored to the church. If you read Acts 3 and verse 19 through 21, you'll see that Christ will restore all things to this earth at his second coming. And so, the church of God, the true church, does have these truths restored today. And the world will have them restored at Christ's second coming. Notice Matthew 24 and verse 14. It says, "And this gospel of the kingdom." So that's what that gospel message is about. That's what being born again is all about. Being born again as a spirit being, as a God being, into the kingdom and family of God. "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So we need to consider this prophecy. Notice first that the gospel of the kingdom would be preached in all the world for a witness. So many people would not accept it. Most wouldn't. But it's a witness. The message was out there and it was heard, even though many didn't respond to it at that time. It says, "And then after that message is preached in all the world for a witness, then shall the end come." What does that mean? Well, the correspondence course notes this. It says the word "end" used here in verse 14 is not talking about the end of the age. In verse 3, the disciples ask Christ about the end. And there's a Greek word for that, centelia, meaning the entire completion or consummation of the age. In verse 14, the word translated as end is the Greek word telos. So this is a different word here, even though in English it's called the end as well. But in the Greek, it's telos, which can mean the termination or limit at which something ceases to be, or that by which a thing is finished or its close. Thayer's lexicon states that what end is intended, the reader must determine by context. And so if you go on and put other prophecies together with this, 2 Thessalonians 2 and others, you read about a falling away from God's truth. The Laodicean era, the final era of God's church. And so Mr. Armstrong's death marked the end of the Philadelphia era of God's church. It was the end. And then, of course, the Laodicean era began, and that's the era that we are in today. The Laodicean era. And very few continue to preach this gospel message around the world with a focus on the warning today. Most are not preaching that message. Many fell away from that truth. And, of course, it was prophesied in the Bible that that would happen. And, again, you can read 2 Thessalonians 2. Also go through Revelation 3 and see more about that. And, of course, there's some great books of thetrumpet.com that really make it clear, Malachi's message and Raising the Ruins specifically. And you can see the history and what happened there. The Correspondence Course says, with today's modern technology, one man can preach to millions of people via television and radio, the printing press, and other means of mass communication, including satellites that orbit the Earth. And, of course, we could also include the internet and all the ways that is used effectively. It says the Philadelphia Trumpet magazine is proclaiming God's gospel and warning as a powerful witness to a readership of over 1 million. And it's also being translated in several major languages, Dutch, French, German, Italian, Spanish, Norwegian, all sorts of ways that the message has to be delivered and delivered to different languages, too. And as we mentioned, the Key of David program is aired on hundreds of stations around the world. So we do have this globe-girdling work. And the sun never sets on the offices of the Philadelphia Church of God. The church is prophesying again as Christ commanded. And so the gospel, this gospel message has been preached to all the world as a witness. And now we are in this time of no more delay, where the message must be delivered once more just before Christ returns. And that's what we are working on doing. And so understanding what it means to be born again is such a vital part of the gospel message. And that gospel message has been preached around the world as a witness. Mr. Armstrong was instrumental in doing that. And at his death, that really was the end of the Philadelphia era and the beginning of the Laodicean era, right in that time period. But understanding the gospel message is something that you certainly can do because it continues to be delivered through the Philadelphia Church of God. The gospel message is the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the soon coming kingdom and family of God. And to enter into that, which is what God wants for every man to do in his season, we all have to be born again, actually born spirit beings, just like Christ said. The wind blows, and you don't know where it came from, and you don't know where it's going, and you can't see it. That's what it's like to be a spirit being. That's how Christ described it. And as he said, if we're born flesh, and we're still flesh, then we're not yet born again. We're not born again yet, but upon baptism, repentance and baptism, the laying on of hands of God's true ministers, and praying and asking for God's Spirit, that's when we can become begotten and begin to grow and to develop. But we're not born again until we're born as very God beings, Spirit, into the kingdom of God. What a wonderful message. It's been preached around the world as a witness, and for a little while it will continue to be preached. And so if you haven't really looked into it too much, or maybe haven't looked into it in a while, make sure to really look into the true gospel and understand it and see what you need to do about it. We We've got a lot of wonderful material at thetrumpet.com, including the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. And if you have any questions about this material, you can always send an email in to our personal correspondence department. And you can find more information about that at pcg.church. That's pcg.church. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.